Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Stephen Routledge listens to himself make new music picks.
And now here I am talking about listening to myself make my new music picks.
Is this what they mean by being stuck in a moment and you can't get out of it? Okay, today we are going to get into listener new music picks from October. Now that it is November, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan, and with me all this week is
Stephen Routledge.
Now, we talk a lot about, and Stephen's filling in for Patrick. Patrick's out this week. Stephen, we talk a lot about you living in Scotland. You actually grew up in England, correct? And then moved to Scotland?
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, I am English. My parents and grandparents are all English. My family's mainly from sort of around North East London and Essex area, which is why I support West Ham.
Got it.
Because my great-grandfather used to go and watch them. And so, yes, I am not Scottish at all. My wife is Scottish. I met her when I moved up here, but I didn't move here till 2003. Yeah, I spent the rest of my life down in England. Yeah, I love it here. It feels like home kind of now, even though it's, you know, not sort of deep down, but I do love it in Scotland, and I'm really happy living here, you know.
How would you describe the cultural difference between England and Scotland?
Well, we mentioned when we talked about French on yesterday's episode,
yeah,
that there's a complicated relationship between the English and French, but there's also a complicated relationship between the English and the Scots, mainly because we spent a lot of time fighting each other and then the union and all this sort of stuff, and that's mainly related now in sports. I think with like any small nation, they're very proud of being themselves. Yeah, in Scotland, there's quite a common phrase you'll see or hear people talk about is, you know, Scotland invented the world, or the modern world at least, was invented by Scots, like TV, tarmac. You know, lots of these things were invented by Scotsmen or Scotswomen, you know, and, you know, without getting into a full history lesson, but because of the British Empire, Scotland had a far, and Glasgow being the second city of empire, Scotland had a far greater impact around the world than it would have necessarily otherwise had done had it been. It hadn't been part of the Union and you hadn't had the British Empire, you know. I'm not saying that was a good thing. I'm just saying that's historical facts, kind of, you know. Scotland as a rule tends to be a bit more probably left-wing than England. Certainly the Conservatives are not very popular in Scotland. But problem is with Scotland, politics is split down one issue, which is independence, and everything else is kind of irrelevant until that, yeah. So it comes a bit tiresome after a while. But so there's definitely a different feel to, you know, what is seen to be more important in Scotland than in England. You know, but the main thing that Scots love more than anything is beating England at football or rugby. That would be,
sure. I can appreciate that. And kilts. Are kilts still a thing?
Oh, kilts are a thing, yes. I have never worn a kilt, and I've gone on record saying I never will wear a kilt because I am not Scottish. But they tend mainly to be for, like, weddings and funerals and stuff like that.
Right.
So if you go, so at a Scots wedding, a lot of the men will wear a kilt instead of a suit, and that would be expected. If you're, you know, a Scotsman would get their kilt out for the wedding, you know, and that would be perfectly, yeah, that's the, yeah, norm. But you won't walk down the high street and see people walking around in kilts. No, it's not, no, a daily attire. Dress attire,
not a regular thing, not the way we picture it over here, I think, right?
So not quite. No. That's only in films, I think.
That's right.
Much like the French and their berets, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Carrying a big baguette and having a mustache,
that's the one,
right?
Yeah. And a stripy shirt on a bicycle.
That's exactly it. Okay, where are we now? It's listener new music, and traditionally what we do is we start with Stephen's message that he sends us, but you're here, so you could just talk, or I could play the message if you still want me to, or however you want to do this. He's got it. And by the way, Stephen, what did you think when you first heard that theme song that Nicholas put together?
I was totally blown away by it. I know you gave me a heads up not to watch the Hootenanny on catch up after I was actually working away the first time I heard that. And I was working down in Southend, and I was listening to the podcast when the episode dropped. And because I was working away from home, just living out of a hotel room and my van, and my mum had bought me a tin mug, you know, like for putting my tea, you know, cup of tea in. You know, I make a cup of tea in when I'm at work. And it has at least, you can get everyone's name on it. It says, Stephen, the man, the myth, the legend, on this tin mug that my mum bought for me. I was drinking tea out of that when I heard that episode. it couldn't have been more perfect. It was like, what is happening? As you might say, it was kind of like, am I in a fever dream here? It's totally amazing that Nicholas did that. And consequently, I felt the need to respond, you know, right. In kind.
Right. Okay, so where do we want to go with your new music picks?
Why don't you play what I sent in? Because I would have drafted that out.
Yes.
So it'll be, and so otherwise I'll probably forget something. And then
we'll go from there.
Greetings, Jim and Patrick. Faithful interns, and Patrick's one true friend Shadow, Stephen Routledge here, calling in from Scotland with my new music picks for October. After a more mellow September, I'm embracing Rocktober to its fullest extent with my picks. First up is a song from an album which featured in the RTS Weekly newsletter new release section last week. And whilst I was already aware of it being on the way, what I wasn't expecting was a masterpiece of modern metal that leaves me spoilt for choice. Hushed and Grim by Mastodon is that rare thing, a double album that doesn't feel too long. The Georgian band have always had a unique sound that is unlike any other in metal, purely from a sonic point of view, rather than just stylistic. They clearly take a lot of progressive elements into their music, and my pick from the album is Sickle and Peace. For the first minute and 47 seconds, you could be mistaken for thinking you were listening to an art rock band before the heaviness kicks in. And like many of the songs, it features some lovely fluid lead work from guitarist Brent Hines. Metal album of the year, and sure to feature in my end of year top 10. I know Hashpipe drummer extraordinaire Bobby Padovic is a big fan of this band, and I'm sure he'll be digging this one too. In September, Jim, if I remember correctly, picked a Guns N' Roses track, and I'd like to continue the theme and humbly suggest that The River Is Rising by Slash and Miles Kennedy does the same thing that Jim's pick, but better. Ever since Mr. Kennedy started working with Slash in 2009, they've put out some consistently excellent hard-rocking music, and this continues in that vein. Hard-rocking riffage, a melodic chorus, and bubbling with the punkish energy that Guns N' Roses always had, especially on their mega-selling debut. Well, that'll do for this month. As ever, I look forward to hearing what you, the interns, and my fellow listeners have chosen. Just be sure to keep rocking the suburbs. Every day.
All right, that refresh your memory.
Yeah, that guy seems to know what he's talking about. kind of what I said there, really. I guess, just give the first one a spin and see what you think.
Mastodon. I thought it was great. And I'd listened to this a little while ago. I mean, it just recently came out. I was listening to it. No, I think it's a super interesting band. And I think you can probably speak better to this than I can. What I find really interesting about metal and hard rock is it's gotten really like, it's almost become like art rock now. Whereas my feelings about metal, you know, when it was really popular when I was a kid, was that, yes, there was a certain amount of virtuosity to it, of course, but the songs were more straightforward, like right aimed right at the gut, you know, or maybe, you know, somewhere else. But
a bit lower down even.
Yeah, but now it's like it's aimed at the head. You know what I mean? It's the genre has really taken a different turn, I think.
Well, I think, particularly with Mastodon, the prime example of it, with that progressive element to their music, like in progressive rock, and we talked about Dream Theater previously with progressive metal. Yeah, but it's not a huge leap from progressive music to metal music. You know, you listen to the sort of bands, those sort of prog bands, we won't mention, Patrick's not here, we won't talk about one particular band, but you look at bands like Yes, and the gap between them and Deep Purple is not massive. And Rush, for example, who kind of straddle both worlds as well.
True.
Yeah, most definitely progressive, but also most metal fans like Rush as well, you know. And so I think there's always been that there. And particularly a band like Iron Maiden, you listen to their music now, it was always there because I know Steve Harris is a big fan of Wishbone Ash. And that sort of progressive part of the music has always been in Iron Maiden, but in the most recent few albums, even more so. Yeah, since Bruce Dickinson rejoined, it's kind of gone more that way almost with every album. It gets more kind of expansive and bigger and longer, and just really embracing the fact that they can do that. So, no, I think you're right. There's a much more cerebral approach to metal than there ever was in the past. You know, it's not so much bikers. Music now, it's much more, you got to use your brain, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, now your other pick here was Slash and Miles Kennedy, The River Is Rising. Okay, now, most of the songs throughout the week, these are first listens for me. So that's the first time I've heard that. I think I mentioned this, you know, you mentioned the Guns N' Roses pick from last month. I think I may have said something to this effect, but I really love Slash's guitar playing. I just feel like he has such a great feel for the instrument. Mm-hmm. It seems to come just very naturally, almost effortlessly, the way he plays, but there's such a great sort of feeling and groove to it.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't know how much of his solo stuff you've listened to, but
not much.
It really shows that, you know, I know he's been back with Guns N' Roses most recently for the tour, but you know, once he hooked up with Miles, the first time they went on Slash's, like Slash and Friends album, we had a lot of celebrity vocalists like Chris Cornell, Lemmy, Fergie, all these people doing songs. And that was a good album, but then Miles Kennedy did a few songs with him and he just became the vocalist for Slash's touring band. And he's got the chops and he can do, I mean, he's a great musician in his own right, actually, Miles Kennedy. And he also sings in another band who I've mentioned before, Alter Bridge. So he's a very good guitar player in his own right. Obviously, he's not Slash, clearly, but, you know, he's a highly, highly competent guitar player and also a fantastic singer. But I think Slash has said that, you know, he's had so many issues with frontmen in the past, you know, with Axl and Scott Weiland. And, you know, it's like the fact that he's just got found his perfect match. It's like Miles Kennedy, where you been all my life kind of thing.
Right.
You know, we can make music together and just get along and then go and do our own things and come back there together. And so they've put out some really good stuff. And I just heard that and I thought, man, that's just like, if that dropped as a new Guns N' Roses track, I think people would be quite excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, great picks. Now let's see here, we're going to do one more listener today, and it is Bob Peterson.
Hello, Jim and Patrick and fellow listeners, this is Bob Peterson, and I'm real excited to present my October new music pick. It's the self-titled album from My Morning Jacket, a band whom I've loved since 2003 when It Still Moves came out. The new album features everything I love about the band. First, it shows off their unique hybrid of musical styles, where they meld classic rock with psychedelia, country, soul, and jazz. Secondly, these songs are transcendent and almost spiritual. Jim James creates an array of moods on the album with songs that range from quiet and beautiful to soaring and anthemic. And last, and probably most important, they weren't afraid to show off their musical chops. Many of these songs have extended instrumental jams like their live shows. And if you've seen them live, you know what I'm talking about. The song I think I'd like to highlight is In Color. It starts out as a quiet song with acoustic and pedal steel guitars and steadily builds in intensity and volume over 7 minutes. It culminates in a frantic volley between dual lead guitars. I would love to see this live, but I don't think they're playing any venues near me anytime soon. Thank you.
It looks better in color. Oh, the spectrum appears. There's more to life than just black and white. So many shades in between.
That song is over 7 minutes long. You just got a little bit of it there. I'm guessing it probably goes off in some different directions, knowing My Morning Jacket. I haven't had a chance to listen to this album yet, despite being a big fan of this band for quite some time and having lived for a decade in their hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. So where they are a really big deal, by the way. But but are you a My Morning Jacket fan, Stephen?
I am, yeah. I didn't really click with the last one. Was it The Waterfall 2? That was the last
one.
Yeah,
and that was kind of a weird album because it was a lot of stuff, almost like outtakes, really.
Yeah, I think it was more, it felt like leftovers.
Yeah.
And it sounded like it as well, I thought. But no, I really do like, they're a fantastic band. And Bob mentioned about It Still Moves. I mean, that is an absolute classic record.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I really like that. You can tell that was going to launch into space at some point. And I think Bob again touched on when his description of this sort of melange of influences that they pull in. There's a soulfulness to them there. But I mean, what I liked about that was the beat. I mean, it's almost like, you feel like the drummer's like falling off the back of the lorry as they go driving along. He's like, how much back can this beat sit?
Yeah.
it's almost into the next song, the previous song. It's going so far back, But it worked, because while I was listening to it, I think the best way to describe it is it's part of you thinks, they took a big bucket and scooped through the ocean of 70s rock and just pulled up a big mix of it. And that's what they sort of pulled it out and that's what they create. But it's almost like a kind of greasiness to their music.
Mm-hmm.
The way it kind of slides around, it's not dirty because that kind of gives the wrong impression, but there's a griminess and a kind of looseness.
Yeah.
There's like an antiqueness, the band are clearly a big influence on My Morning Jacket, and that kind of fusty kind of like, I found this at the back of a cupboard thing is there as well,
That's good.
With a more modern kind of spin on it as well. Really, they're such an interesting band and musically that they're great.
Yeah, that's a really good description. What I was going to say is that they kind of remind me of like a great movie director in the sense of like creating some world that you enter and then you live in for this period of time, right? And that's kind of how I feel about their music. Like it's creating some experience for you, the listener, that you sort of block out all of real life for the duration of a 7-minute song, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I think, yeah, they're more like musical auteurs, aren't they, really? It's very much, to use my non-existent French, un song de my morning jacket. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, it can't be anyone else. Yeah, you know, they say they create this soundscape that is their sound.
Yeah.
And then you inhabit it for a while.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Brilliant description, yeah.
All right, thanks very much, Bob. Thank you, Stephen, for your picks. Tomorrow we are going to have 3 callers, all right? Let's get right to that. Thanks again, Stephen. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I've been Stephen Routledge.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow. As I mentioned, Patrick Foster will be back
at some point.
That's right.